Yo, welcome to episode 102 of the Breeze podcast, where your word of mouth is our oxygen. You're here with me, the boy, John McCullen, and my co-host.
Who's also the better boyfriend of the two, Victor White.
That's arguable.
Coming out the gate firing, bro.
Yo, what's good?
Okay, yeah, well,
Wait. Let's roll the intro and let's get into it.
Well, my beautiful girlfriend, she's on a layover right now, and she thinks I'm getting drunk at a day party, but I skipped out on the day party to go and meet her at the airport. I'm not doing this just because of nothing. Today we're celebrating 5 months, bro, which is a big deal. And then, but most importantly, during Stockholm Fashion Week, I've been working with this high-end creme de la creme designer, Jennifer Bloom, who gifted me to gift my girlfriend a little piece of something that's actually from the, we're talking to a specific royal family, and they advised us that I should not involve them in my content. So I'm not going to do that. But if you Google Jennifer Bloom and royalty or whatever, you will see whom I'm talking about. Anyhow, so my girlfriend then has a super exclusive item that I'm gonna give her today when she's coming home. She's been gone for a week, bro.
Wait, that's the reason that you're up here. You're here with a turtleneck, looking like Drake.
No. The turtleneck swag. That's my new, Stockholm School of Economics swag in general.
I feel that. I mean, it's Sunday, but okay, I feel that.
Every day is a bespoke day for Victor White. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say, bro.
That's a good look.
What do you have on? The West Indies cricket?
No, I realized I should have worn this shirt.
Well, we had Jason on.
I realized. Why didn't I wear this shirt, bro? This is the 2019 World Cup edition.
Nice. Love the support. So what are you up to, bro? Well, what have you been up to?
I've been working my, we're about to launch this. Okay, I mean, next episode we'll get into it, because it'll be launching that week, but this week we're, in a testing phase of, that thing I told you about last week, so we're sending it out this week and getting, we have, a focus group, we have a bunch of people, and we're, testing the AI and making sure it's smart enough that keeps learning.
Okay.
But I'm just enjoying being in the, being in the product space, you know what I mean? Like, I haven't been in the product space as yet, so it's definitely interesting. Actually having a tangible product and actually being able to test that, you know what I mean? So that's what's keeping my plate full, you know what I mean? That's basically it.
And how's the wifey?
She's blessed. Happy wife, happy life, bro. You know what I mean?
You haven't happened to gotten her any specific super exclusive gifts?
I mean, I don't know royalty friends, you know?
Well, you have me, bro. And I always got your back. So don't worry about it. All that stuff will come.
It's true. But we're out here, bro. We're out here,
that's,
you know?
Nice. One thing that you do need is that you need to put padding or something up on the walls in all of your apartments, so it doesn't sound like an empty.
Yo, my apartment box is actually not empty, bro. It's just,
just the walls.
It actually has a lot of stuff, but the studio, this room right here.
Yeah.
That's a studio, so I'm.
Okay, so you have a studio, but you're not utilizing it.
I'm building it. It's not done. So once I'm done, you'll see. The setup is gonna be crazy. I'm just waiting for my desk to come in right now.
Once
the desk is in, then.
What floor are you on, bro?
Seventh. We only have 7 floors. So I'm on the top floor.
Ooh, penthouse, bro.
We're out here. I gotta give you a tour, when we get.
I know. I haven't had the tour yet. Wow, John, I don't even remember where we left off because I've been going nonstop really hard lately. But it would be nice to just go back to our roots for a bit and maybe roll the chopped up.
Yeah, let's roll.
So, has anything hit your radar as of recently?
Neuralink?
Yes.
I think that's like the biggest thing that's that happened that I've read so far. I think we spoke about it on the podcast, but now like, so you had like a demonstration.
Yeah.
Last week. So when you hear it, it'll be last week.
Yeah.
Basically, like he was. I think he did it on pigs, right? You correct me if I'm wrong. He did it on pigs, and
because I saw this, and I just want to chip in. Like, first of all, we're talking about Elon Musk, one of his side projects, and it's about integrating software with the human brain, essentially.
Connect artificial intelligence and the human brain. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So I remember the first prototype he brought out like 2 years ago, and it was like this, like. You just saw these three long strings like attached to the brain and like was it this like I don't know what it was, some like computer, you know what I mean? But now like the second generation, which he's actually testing, and you got like approval to accelerate towards like human
trials.
Like, mm-hmm. So like this one just looks like a volume knob like mm-hmm. just on your head. Mm-hmm. I just think this is super like interesting, super Black Mirror-esque. And like mm-hmm. I'm all for it, bro. What do you think? Like, what's your stance on like?
Have you met any or encountered any like biotech kind of things?
Like engineers?
No. Actual tech inside humans. Have you encountered that in real life yet?
I think I met someone who had a chip. But yeah. Like, they were like from China.
Yeah, so I met this guy at when Revolut had their first Rev Rally here in Stockholm. Shout out Revolut. Yeah. Full disclaimer, I work on with them occasionally. I think they're the best fintech out there, so you should get it. Anyhow, so he has a chip in his thumb, and then when you go with your NFC on your phone, his LinkedIn thing comes up, you know?
You told me about that.
Yeah. And... man, it's weird, you know, but the thing that interested me is that we act all scared about these things, and like you just said, like Black Mirror-esque, etc., when in reality we're already like bionicles, because you know we're a hybrid essentially, because the phones are an extension of us nowadays. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're learning our behavior that we put into the software.
Yeah.
So it's not that crazy of a thing if you think about it, but it's
not
like
far-fetched.
No, but I mean it's I would say it's like it's a similar leap, like going from button phones to when the iPhone was launched and the whole smartphone era. Do you get what I mean? Obviously, this is bigger in another way, but
I feel like it's interesting just because like humans don't really fully understand the brain to this day. They are like neuroscientists and stuff like that. But
yeah,
they don't fully understand like the capabilities of the brain.
Yeah,
but like this is like I see it like as an add-on. You know what I mean? Like when you have like those modular cameras, you have to like add like zoom lens and stuff. Like I feel like this is like the direction and stuff. You can't be scared. You can't be scared. You know what I mean? Like
this is the direction
stuff is going. Like you can't. I just go like, embrace it, man. Like, I know I said Black Mirror, but like I'm a big Black Mirror fan.
I like it too.
And, like, I look at Black Mirror stuff. I'm like, okay, that's probably gonna happen soon. You know what I mean? Like, So I mean, it's super interesting.
Yeah.
If anyone's gonna do it, like Elon Musk, you know what I mean? Like I'm excited. I'm excited to see what happens.
No, I agree.
First round of people doing it, but like it's super interesting, man. Like that just unlocks a whole new like
it definitely does.
That unlocks a whole new wave of stuff.
John, I have something we have to talk about.
What's that?
First of all, this another shooting, a 70-year-old in the U.S. So just a moment of silence for that. Second of all, because those things are serious issues and it's highly relevant right now. And I feel like, you know, we talk about things, and I would say this is most of the time a lighthearted podcast, but I think it's our mission to like, you know, educate our listeners in those regards too. But what I wanted to talk about is we haven't brought up Joe Biden's running mate, Kamala Harris.
True. What are you?
Bro, no. Biden is 100% gonna win with her. 100%. Trump is done.
Yeah, I hope so. Like, I actually do. Like, I've been reading a lot.
And didn't I say that Trump is gonna win this election?
Yeah.
So I think it's interesting to see how things turn. You know, because not like bro. If you see the thing, have you seen when she grills like some Republicans and like someone from Trump's thing? And like, she's a boss lady.
Bro,
I'm telling
you this, bro. Like politics, like U.S. politics, is actually like the biggest like comedy series of life.
Yeah, but it's like, more like sports. Really, it's like a sports series, you know.
I mean, I can't. I wouldn't even call it sports. It's based on like the competitors, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they're not playing like it's they're not playing competitively. They're just playing like it's a big joke, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
when you read the U.S. news, is actually like it like it don't make no sense. It makes sense for Joe Biden to choose Kamala Harris. Okay, yeah, Democrats, you know what their stance is. You know what I mean? But like, then you look on what's happening on a federal level, like with the USPS, and like, they're trying to shut, like, they don't want people, like, this is, like, I don't want to say this is, like, the first election that, like, someone might lose, like, president might lose, and then choose not to leave the White House, and then have to
go. Yeah, but I honestly don't think that will happen, just because I got the feeling that Trump entered the race, and, like, I feel like he wasn't, I feel like he had the aura of that, like, I'm gonna win, you know, just run over everyone. But you know, but then at one point reality sets in, and then when you look at like what he's done recently compared to when he came up and actually got the win, you know, it's I wouldn't say it's the same Trump, you know.
I get you. I just think like,
and I also think like with all the divisiveness going on right now and everything with Black Lives Matter and all that stuff, like, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not for taking a political party or political views. I more so look at the individual. And we've said multiple times on this podcast, you know, how we feel, where we stand. And I certainly don't like politics. I'm more on the like corporate level, make a change. But I still think that, like, I don't know. You never know.
I just feel like when you look at like at the narrative that's being pushed, like there's so many things that would lead you to believe that like you're leading up to discredit like what's about to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, I mean, Americans gotta just be mindful and know what's, where they're getting their news from and what's truth and what's not truth. You know what I mean? Because this is like a crucial time.
Yeah.
This crucial time.
What I did, because to be honest with you, I don't think Joe Biden is fit to be president, like from a health standpoint.
Bro, I don't think these minds are fit.
It's insane. Why not?
But any other place, these people would be retired. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can't be working. Like, you literally, I know you want to be running like the United States of America, bro. Like, come on. Like, you might not even last through like the entire presidency. You're trying to go end, like, that's wild.
I know. Now I just forgot what I was going to say, and I think I had a really good point, but so what I was gonna say is that, so the only reason, or not the only reason, but to be honest with you, I haven't consumed any American politics. However, what I do consume is our bro, Shamath Palihapitiya, and the All In podcast. Yeah. And all of them, except one guy, said that Biden will win. But then he changed his mind after they had some conversations about it. And the reason I say this is because, like, they're all in with, like, you know, Peter Thiel, for example, who was a huge driver behind Trump. I don't know how many people know that, but if those guys say that and they're, like, in with the Silicon Valley elite and they get to hear things that we don't get to hear, yeah, then I think, you know, but another thing to remember, though, is that they're probably really detached from reality as well because of, 100%, you know.
100%. I mean, it's going to be interesting this year, man. Like, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
For sure. I actually have something else I want to bring up, too. Do you watch the Joe Biden podcast?
Okay. Before we go into Joe Biden, huge thing. My homie Chris got married yesterday.
Oh, shout out to Chris.
With Juwo. Two Mile Hill.
Shout out to 2 Mile Hill. You know what I mean? Like, drop some music, please.
Yes, yes. And guys, so obviously with COVID everything, it was live stream. It was a beautiful ceremony. But so best of wishes. Chris, from all the Breeze family. And
shout out to Chris.
Odds are you don't know who 2 Mile Hill is if you're not a Bajan. So just go in on Spotify and educate yourself culturally. So Joe Budden
podcast. So let's talk about the economics of podcast for a bit. So I don't know. You probably don't. Do you watch the Joe Budden podcast?
So it's interesting, this thing with filter bubbles, because Celine told me that every time she switches to the Breeze Media YouTube account, there's a completely different landing page than on her private landing page, filter bubbles.
Yeah.
And Joe Budden is often on there. And because she was telling me this so that I could bring it up on the podcast, I think she just wants some airtime and cred. But what's interesting is that it's and I went in to check for myself, and so then I was like, John has probably forgot to switch to his private YouTube accounts a couple of times, fed the algorithm, and now it's feeding this type of content. So that's how I came, when Celine advised me on this and I went in and looked for myself, I saw Joe Budden and him apologizing to Logic, but also something else recently, like super recently, like yes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So Joe Budden podcast, so up until recently, they're like exclusively on Spotify. So they got like the first contract from Spotify.
Yes, and now it's like withdrawing
podcast over, right?
Yeah,
So his podcast is huge, bro. Right?
Yeah,
it's like 3-hour-long episodes, which is crazy. Twice a week, 3 times a week sometimes.
Yeah,
twice a week every week, right?
Yeah.
So now he's leaving Spotify. Because
why?
He said the bag isn't big enough, bro.
Okay.
He's like, he's not. Like,
so he's okay, envious of Joe Rogan.
Not envious of Joe Rogan. Okay, so Joe Budden was the first podcast. So up until like 3 years ago, there were no podcasts on Spotify, as you know. You know
what I mean? Yeah.
So Joe Budden was like the first podcast that they paid for, right? Mm-hmm. So they paid for him to be exclusively on Spotify. Now Joe Budden has like a huge audience, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Huge.
Yeah, because he's big in the black community, right?
Yeah, but not even that. Like just like in
generally,
you know what I mean? like
can I say something?
Yeah.
So when I watched, like, I just got a snippet of him, a few minutes, right? But he seems a bit pessimistic and a little bit negative, because when I watched the Apologizing to Logic video, he said that he was in a bad place and hating and stuff like that.
So this is the thing, right? Like, you have to watch it. Like, okay, so yeah, I've a rapper, like going on to
combat. John, can you repeat that, because it lagged? So,
oh yeah, I said I was following Joe Biden from like when he was like a rapper, you know what I mean? So like following his journey from that to being a journalist to then starting a podcast, you know what I mean? You understand like the dynamics of the podcast, like that's what he's there. He's there to be like pessimistic, but still like sporadic.
Yeah.
He's happy at times, but then like the other people, like there are four people on that podcast. They balance.
Yeah. Great. Yeah.
But going back to like the economics of this, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, he's not going back to Spotify because he was there first podcast. He surpassed all the metrics that like the suits told him that he had to surpass.
But this is coming from Joe Budden, right?
This is coming from Joe Budden. Like Spotify
released a statement. Okay, that's interesting. Okay, Spotify
released a statement. Yeah? You know mm-hmm. what I mean? But like, so he broke it down exactly. He broke it down. You know what I mean? Like he was mm-hmm. like, yo, we came here. Spotify was like, need to get X amount of streams. You know what I mean? They were 900% above what Spotify told them to be. 900%, bro. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So then while all this is happening, Spotify, as we know, like as we covered in this podcast, Spotify is like buying up Gimlet Media, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? X amount of millions of dollars. Spotify gave like Amy Schumer a show, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Spotify bought Joe Rogan podcast, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he was like, yeah, I'm watching all this happen. And like thereby, they're supposed to get bonuses, like bonuses and stuff. Bonuses not mm-hmm. happening, you know what I mean? And like mm-hmm. they're exceeding all of these metrics that Spotify put in place.
Okay.
Like they should be getting more money, you know what I mean?
Okay.
So he brings out Spotify. Spotify is like, nah, we think it's fair, right?
Okay.
So he was like, nah, I'm out. But okay. It brings back to like, so this is like still new territory.
Yeah.
Right. So this is like where this is how I'm gonna explain it. When you look at music and you look at what a stream is worth, you know what I mean? Like that stuff is set. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like a stream in the music world for 3 minutes and 30 seconds is set. Like that cent value for one stream is set in music.
It's not set in
podcasting. So like all these companies are still trying to value like what a stream should be. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting, meaning that this is brand new. This is the wild, wild west when it comes to mm-hmm. podcasting, bro. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If I mean, look at these podcasts.
Can I just say something about Budden there before we dive deep into the economics of the whole thing? Yo, bro, you make your own bet. Like, I don't have empathy for him if he's like, you know, blaming stuff on Spotify. Like, he should have negotiated a better deal, bro. And
I mean, this is the thing. I don't think he's blaming Spotify. I just think like he understands, like he's a guy that understands his value, right? He's not gonna go and like try to negotiate, but like mm-hmm. obviously when you negotiate, there's a wall at times. Like if one side isn't willing to go any further, like it's gonna stop.
Yeah,
you know I mean? It's
gonna, yeah.
That's just negotiation 101. So if he did try to, which he did, which he said, I don't know, like it was all truth, but like. He said you're trying to negotiate and didn't like they were nowhere close to like the value that they thought they should get. You know what I mean? So like kudos to him to being able to walk away from Spotify, bro. You know what I mean? Like I feel like I don't like he has to know, you know what I mean? Like he has a platform that he can take.
And the other thing to say is, bro, like I got to think about this, like even if you try to deliver something transparently, you still sugarcoat it to your benefit. You're always biased with yourself. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
So I'm sure that if we got to see the matter transparently, things would be a little bit different. Not that that matters.
Like, I feel that still doesn't negate the fact of what our podcast worth. People still don't know.
I mean, like, what's our podcast worth? We have what, the total of 5,000 plays by this point.
How do you value it? Like,
we've spent a lot of hours and time into it, you know. But at the end of the day, I think it's a supply and demand market thing, you know, basic economics, you know. Yeah. And like, you know, so I think that's. Then when you get into soft parts, such as brand, etc., that's a bit different, you know, because we have had stories where brands, because their brands have sold for hundreds of millions of dollars just because of that, 100%. You know.
I'm just going back to what's when you look at the hard economics of it, it's still not, no one knows. You know what I mean? Like a stream isn't for what a stream should be like, and like you can't really compare, like they messed it up when it came to music, you know what I mean? So people like streaming digital music is pretty new way when you think of like,
I have a question. So how do you think the whole streaming music thing, where do you think that is today? Is it in a good spot? Like
no
because like how does it work with Instagram and their music catalog? Like those are only like what, 15 seconds? Like that doesn't count as a whole stream, like, you know,
bro,
like
they mess it up big time, bro. Like when you, there's no standardized way to say, okay, this is how much a stream is worth. If you stream on Spotify,
which I think is natural, bro. Like, I mean, you know,
you can't say that simply because, like, when you, if you're a YouTuber, you have, you monetize your YouTube, you have a sense of like, are you, but YouTube is a platform, right?
Yeah.
But, like, they value their creators. Is that correct?
Right. But their creators,
when you look at these DSPs, like these digital streaming platforms, they're literally just, they're software companies, right?
Yeah.
So their thing is like, okay, we get the music to the consumer.
Yeah. Right?
But then who's creating the music, which is like the producers and the songwriters.
Yeah.
They aren't valued in that chain. You know what I mean? Like you get 0.00015 cents for a stream, which is like, bro, like if I
So sorry, I'm playing devil's advocate here, but I think this is super interesting, bro. So
A lot of people don't know this.
Yeah.
This is why you have a lot of millionaires. If you look in the music industry, like a lot of the millionaires that made music, not just purely made music, they're all like 40, 50, because they grew up and they came out in the time where
you made big bucks.
And you bought a CD.
Yes. And you got the revenue, the profit straight in there based on the deal you had with the label. Well, so two things then, John. The one thing that I would like to say is that I really like Russ. His approach, where he's like, there's so much information out there, so if you get tricked or fooled or whatever, it's because of you and you're dumb, essentially. The other thing that I would like to ask your opinion on is that I lost my thing again. Wait, it'll come back. We're talking about streaming and stuff. Yes, so you only get X amounts of cents for, you know, but you have the choice to be on their platform or not to be on their platform, right?
I mean, not really.
But listen, right? So that's the first thing. That's you have a choice there. The second thing is that if you are on their platform and you do blow up because they are the channel to the consumer, you get a lot of back-end value. Would you rather see that they, instead of that, say, okay, if you want to be on our platform, then we have to take part of all your, if you perform somewhere, concerts, blah, blah. Last thing is, would you rather see, like, if it's commercials, you know, and they have a split, like YouTube gives 51% to the creator and 49% to the, goes to YouTube. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah. But like, okay, a couple of things you just contradicted yourself, because you like, okay, you can't say that you have a choice and then say that these platforms are the way to the consumer, right? Here's the thing: you don't have a choice simply because you're not gonna go and sell on your, okay, you're not gonna go sell them in CDs. You're not gonna go, if you have a brand, maybe you can sell on your website, but like no one is paying for music in this day and age. You know what I mean?
But people are paying for brand. Right,
people are paying for brand, but people, like, if you look at the consumer spend, they're not paying for music. No one, you're not going to go pay $12.99 for an album, right?
Yeah,
you if you're paying for Spotify, you're paying for Tidal, you're paying for Amazon, if you're paying for anything, you're just going to stream it, right?
Yeah,
to your point of, okay, yes, you get value from, you get the statistics, you get the the analytics on what's happening. But like, value should be created on both sides. Like, where are we?
Maybe it's more difficult for songwriters and producers.
Yeah, but that, like, okay, so let's say, okay.
Because I'm thinking artists,
you're a director,
right?
You're a videographer.
Yeah.
Let's say that you did, say you did the Jennifer Blum show, right?
Yeah.
So you didn't get paid for that. Say you did a sick edit, like you put it out everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Millions and millions of views.
Yeah, yeah.
On YouTube, millions and millions of views everywhere. And it's like, you probably get like 5% revenue.
Yeah,
like being like very conservative. After you put, after you're the guy.
Yeah,
and you saw you did the storyboard. You
had this conversation today, bro. One of her shows has 1.3 million views. I didn't shoot it, but still, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just saying, like, okay, like you're the guy that you were the creative. You brought it from nothing to something.
Yeah,
like you brought it from a whiteboard to like where it is now. Like, do you feel like you should be adequately compensated for being the creative direction behind that?
Look, so once again, Russ, he has spoken a lot about this.
Russ speaks from someone that's
an artist perspective, or
not artist perspective, but like he can say that now looking back, because he didn't have that leverage to do that, you know what I mean?
Like, listen to this, John. Like, you know, if you're a bookstore and Amazon comes into the world, right, do you then fight to keep your bookstore, or do you start selling books on Amazon if you want your business to survive? Or do you pivot to something else? Just listen to what I have to say.
Okay,
I think the whole business, for the same way, it's the same thing happened in the ski industry, where you had this big contract, you're making lots of money, and then everything changed with social media because people weren't physically attending the events, which is the equivalent of buying CD records, right? So what happens? Okay, then you have to change your own business model. Now you're an influencer. Where are the eyeballs? Okay, on the followers, right? So to me, it's like, you know, if I was an artist, then what I would do is that I would try to get my music out there as much as possible, and then just capitalize on the back end and learn how to build a business out of that, doing merch, doing freaking collabs on as an influencer on social media, all these things, you know? I think you have to move forward and challenge yourself, and not, like, you know, because let's just accept that nobody is buying records anymore. People accept for everyone to be able to listen to any kind of music for free, either by going on YouTube or being part of a streaming thing, right?
Yeah.
So to me, it's like, then you have to rewrite the map. That's where I stand.
Okay,
you know?
Okay, that's fair. Like, my thing is, like, we're not talking about artists here. Like, that's why I brought the example of, like, you being a videographer. Like, you're not in front of the camera. People don't know you. Like, you brand yourself to a certain, like, you can leverage that. But like, I'm not, like, the artists, they're always in the, like, that's set. They create their storyline, they build their brand, and they can monetize that, right?
Yeah.
But the artists won't be an artist if you didn't have
engineer, blah, blah,
you
didn't
have a producer,
you
didn't have a songwriter. Like, when you look at the value chain of the music industry, the most valuable part is that creation part, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what I think is going to happen is that songwriters, producers are going to your point, like, they have to start becoming a brand in themselves.
Yeah.
You know, not selling music, but selling, like,
selling
themselves as being that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then go from there. Cause, like,
bro,
in all honesty, it's not like there's so much happening right now in terms of trying to get that stuff changed. I don't think it's gonna happen anytime soon. Like, if you know how many lawsuits.
No, you're Spotify stupid if you put your faith in someone else's hand. That's stupidity, if you ask me, you know. That's just 100%. Retarded.
Facts. So to that point, is like, I feel like to all those songwriters, producers, and
John, I think you're doing a fantastic job. Like, if I were aiming to being a songwriter or producer, then I would try to produce and write as many songs as possible. What did you do this past summer? You wrote like a song a day or something, right?
I'm still writing a song a day.
Yeah, you're still writing a song a day. Next natural step. Okay, you need to get it out there. Boom, then just freaking get as many people as possible, vloggers, Instagrammers, artists, whatever, you know? I think like, you know, you got to be smart, clever, and try to tackle the next frontier.
Facts, bro. Like, I feel a lot of people get left behind, and you just got to roll with the punches. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We're outside still.
Yeah.
We're doing it.
Yeah. Okay, John, we need to start wrapping up here because
let's get it
business. But before we do that, can we please have a pick of the week can't you just bless us with something?
Let's pick of the week.
But you can bless us with something that, because now we've been talking, like, people are probably understand a little bit that you're into the thing, the scene. So, like, maybe you have something for us.
Hey, yo, what's going on? This is DJ Puffy, Red Bull 3-Style World Champion, and this is the Breeze Pick of the Week. Check it out, y'all. Like a tarantula, all I talk can't hear you clear, like you in Temecula. Couldn't see me with bifocals or even binoculars.
This ain't another West Side Story. Okay, Breeze Pick of the Week for this week is the Audibles featuring Pooh Bear Up. It's a fire song.
Nice.
Go check it out.
Do we have a music video on this one?
Yeah, they have a music video.
Okay, sick. Because it's sick if, like, you know, because we're doing the podcast video for...
Yeah,
we need to have... Yo, I saw your calendar, Pooh Bear's birthday.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay. Of course we know it's your birthday. That John is just a professional actor.
Yeah.
Anyhow, guys, thanks for tuning in. I have to go and be the world's best boyfriend now.
Second best.
Please.